Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, February 21st, 2013. Well, tonight's guest has been called the Canadian Phil Keaggy, a guitar virtuoso whose first CD, Breakfast with Barnabas, was nominated for a Canadian Vibe Award, and a solo performer who received the Best Acoustic Artist title at the Toronto Independent Music Awards. Jay Calder is also part of the Couples Night Out team and has been traveling the country with that ministry, which was in Kitchener a couple of weeks ago. We're going to have a chance to find out more about Jay Calder and his music as we chat with him tonight. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to A Full Heart from Jay's Breakfast with Barnabas CD. Now to our interview with Jay Calder. Good evening, Jay.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Good. Now, let's start by giving our listeners a little bit of background about you. Did you start out on guitar?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I took piano lessons, I think, when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, then I guess I was 10 when I took guitar lessons, and I was 10 when I quit. So not a real great student.
So, well, did you get your first guitar at that point in time then as well, or?
Yes, I did.
What was that?
Oh, boy. No idea. It was an acoustic something or other. One very cool thing, though, that happened simultaneously is my first hugely successful band. I'm kidding, but when I was in grade 5, we had about 4 or 5 of us, I guess. There were boys and girls in a group at school. I think we all played about 3 or 4 chords. But we had a really cool teacher that would invite us to play at some school assemblies sometimes, and that was pretty neat for a kid mm-hmm. in grade 5, you know. So
now you said you took started taking guitar lessons then,
yeah, and, Mr. Heaton.
Yeah, and then you quit. When did you pick it back up again?
I never put it down. I just didn't. I wasn't very good at the lesson thing. I still don't read very well. I can make out some tablature, but pretty useless with extensive charts and things.
So where did you go from there, and with doing the stuff with Mr. Heaton and the little string band he had together and that? How did you sort of move from that to where you are today?
Wow. I was just talking with a friend about this kind of stuff. I had forgotten this, but we had some friends. We used to do air guitar bands back in the day before it was called air guitar, and we'd pretend we were the Partridge Family or the Osmond Brothers or something in somebody's basement, and it was always an argument who got to be the front man and who was going to be David Cassidy or Donny Osmond or something. And we were just laughing about this, but my friends and I always loved being in front of people, making them laugh, or once we started to be able to do something musical. And so, yeah, we actually, I wasn't kidding about the group. We had that group for 4 years because from grade 5 right through grade 8, and we would play at school assemblies and talent shows and things. We got a little bit more sophisticated when some of us learned to play some piano as well. Or we did an Elton John song, and I think there was a bass player, and I got an electric guitar as well, and great fun. And then into high school, somebody I had at that point a real cheap electric and a 12-string acoustic, which I played most of the time, and a friend let me borrow his really good electric guitar, and I just fell in love with that. Just the power of it, you know. You crank up the amplifier and just hardly even touch the strings, and do structural damage to the building. So that was that. I was hooked on that. I became a rocker all through high school for the most part.
Well, what was it about the guitar that just kept you moving on through and playing guitar?
I'm not sure I have a great answer. I mean, it's an extremely personal instrument. I mean, it's the most popular instrument on the planet, I would assume, for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can lock yourself in a bedroom and even if you just know a little bit, make some really nice sounds and sort of pour out emotion and all of that. And like I said, with electric guitar, well, it becomes really powerful. Kind of thing, and if you like that kind of music, which I do. About grade 9 onward, I just started to do more things with friends and pick up things here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And listened to a lot of Rush in those days. I became a huge Rush fan, but then also some of the, I guess they used to call it progressive rock bands, like Pink Floyd and Genesis and Yes. But also, there was this Canadian fellow named Bruce Cockburn who was doing amazing things with an acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I find it interesting now that, you know, while I was listening to Rush, I was also listening to Bruce Cockburn and absolutely loving what he was doing.
It's amazing the number of musicians, guitarists that I've talked to over the past few years who cite Cockburn as one of their influences. And I've seen him in concert a couple of times. I've seen him do a total acoustic set in a small jazz tent at in Edmonton, and he is an incredible guitarist.
Yes,
and I think he's underrated because people gravitate towards his singing, towards his social justice messages, and forget just how incredible a guitarist he is.
And I think too, because he's chosen to continue to live in Canada, frankly, has also been a factor in his being underrated, which I'm really glad that he has done that. But there's just something about the Canadian thing that we just... here I'm talking about something I know so little about, but we're not really good at tooting our own horn, so to speak, usually. And no, I totally agree. Very pervasive influence Bruce has had, continues to have.
And even when he went and moves into the electric, I remember that the green talk, the green Strat he had.
Okay.
That really ugly green electric guitar.
Okay, I've seen him play all kinds of stuff, even including a Flying V, which I thought was hysterically funny. But Bruce Cockburn playing a Gibson Flying V, but he did.
Yeah, that, I think that was on his Trouble with Normal tour. And sorry, I'm dating myself.
Oh, I'm older than you, I'm sure.
Looking at that and looking at some of those early influences, were there any guitarists that you had sort of picked out? I'm assuming, of course, Alex Lifeson, if you were a Rush fan, and you've mentioned Cockburn, but were there any other guitarists that you'd sort of picked out as people who were influencing you and who you were trying to, in some ways, maybe gravitating towards their style as you were developing your own?
There really were, and there's probably a long list, but of some of the main ones, and I think with a lot of people, you don't realize how much you're being influenced at the time, and it's only later you're playing certain things, and it's other people that point out to you, you know, that sounded like so-and-so, and it never even occurred to you. I've had people, I don't know how many times when I've done events, they'll come up to me afterward and say, you know, that thing you were playing, that sounded like a riff from Yes, and I'd just be shocked, because it never occurred to me that... I take it as a compliment because I love Yes. Back in the day, in the 70s, I loved it. But Phil Kagi, certainly.
Yep.
I mean, I was a believer through high school, and Phil was one of the trailblazers.
Now, do you go back to his glass harp stuff?
No, I'm not that old. But the first Christian concert I ever went to, my sister took me. She's 3 years older than I am, and we went to hear the Phil Kagi Band in St. Catharines, Ontario, and I was absolutely blown away.
Yeah.
Yeah, just phenomenal. And he has such respect in the musical community, not just in Christian music, and he's a tremendous amount of esteem in mainstream music as an artist.
Mm-hmm. I think where there were comparisons of him with Clapton at one point in time.
Maybe in the sense that there, for some reason, guitar players, maybe more than other instruments, there's a pecking order, which is unfortunate. But, you know, they used to say Clapton was the original guitar god, right? All these, there'd be posters up and stuff, give God a solo, and it was talking about Eric Clapton. But Phil Kagi, I mean, I've had different people have said, I'm not a really big fan of his music, and I always want to say, well, then pick a different decade, you know, because he's done so many different things, so many different styles of music, and he's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't read music. So there's hope for the rest of us.
All right. Well, what I need to do is I need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with guitarist Jay Calder. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Abigail from Jay Calder's Breakfast with Barnabas CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Jay. Jay, just before we went to break, we were talking about some of your influences, especially as a guitarist, but you mentioned that you became a believer and through high school and that. Who were some of your influences and people that helped you along your spiritual journey as well?
Wow. And again, there'd be a really long list. I grew up, as much as anything, I grew up in the Anglican Church, and it was actually a Sunday school teacher in Fonthill, Ontario, Holy Trinity Anglican Church, that led me to Jesus and prayed with me. And soon after that, my dad became a Christian as well and had a very dramatic conversion. So I would say probably my dad had as much influence as anyone, because he jumped in with both feet right away. And So the early years, that was really before high school, but then into high school, my goodness, wow, who were some of the big influences? Probably George Verwer, the Operation Mobilization guy.
Yeah.
But a whole bunch of others. I read some good books, and you know, in those days, things like there were expressions that aren't used so much today, and I kind of think it's a shame. Things like devotions. People used to talk about having devotions all the time, and I'm not sure people even know what that means anymore. But that was a big deal, right? So it's just sort of understood in the circles that I was running in. If you are a follower of Jesus, that's a part of your regular life. So, you know, you do some Bible reading and some prayer, and ask the Holy Spirit to be speaking to you each day and this sort of thing. So I ended up going to a Brethren in Christ high school, at least for 3 years, Niagara Christian College in Fort Erie. And so I had some really great Christian friends through high school, and I loved high school for the most part. You know, I always talk to people, it's, oh man, so glad high school is over. For me, it was great. And I still, to this day, I have friends from high school who I consider some of my closest friends. So not sure what else to tell you about that in our limited time.
Yeah. Well, I want to sort of switch gears a little bit here and look at your music and sort of you're doing strictly instrumental, and unlike songwriters who have lyrics that go with their stuff, what sort of inspires you to develop and write some of the songs you do? Like, I look, for example, we just played Abigail, and you mentioned in the credits that you wrote that for your niece's dedication. So obviously specific events and things like that. But what are some of the things that have inspired you in terms of developing and creating some of the songs that you've created?
It varies tremendously. That one was a little bit unusual because it was actually her name. It's Abigail with a Y. And I hadn't come across that too often since I have, but prior to that. And I just thought that's a kind of a Celtic-sounding name. And I was always sort of in awe of the Celtic music and some of the Celtic guitar players I'd heard. I just thought, my goodness, that's amazing stuff. And to some extent, that song, Abigail, was an attempt on my part to sort of inch my way, at least get my big toe into the genre, Celtic sounding. At least in my ears, it sounds a little bit Celtic music. But most of the time, I mean, I'd love to give you a really super spiritual answer. On my best days, certainly, and some of the songs off of that album, on my best days, some of the stuff comes from just personal time with the Lord and worship and picking up the guitar and just sort of offering it back to God. Truthfully, that's not how it is all the time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I'm noodling around, and especially in a new tuning that's new to me, and I play in a lot of different tunings. Non-guitar players might not have a clue what I'm talking about, but there's standard guitar tuning that everybody learns in. But then what has been discovered over the years is that you can really have a lot more colors to paint with, so to speak, if you noodle around and change around the tunings of the guitar, and which is something I didn't know about, by the way, in the 70s when I was listening to Bruce Coburn.
Yeah, he uses a lot of different tunings.
I didn't know that. And so here I am sitting on the side of my bed trying to work out a Bruce Coburn tune, and it's like, there's no way. And I did, because I didn't know he was playing a non-standard tuning.
Yeah.
But now, sometimes I'll just try tuning things differently and be playing around, and something will come out that just really, I'll think, wow, that was beautiful. That was a really beautiful thing. Like, maybe I should pursue this. And
Well, do you find yourself, you know, sort of coming up with a riff that just sort of ends up repeating itself, or do you sort of like come up with a whole song, or does it vary from composition to composition?
Again, it's been both. It's really been both. Because sometimes I'll arrange things, and I'm changing channels now, but just in the arrangement mode. O Sacred Head was an example of that. Obviously, I didn't write it, but always loved that hymn, and there's sort of a, especially growing up in the Anglican Church, that was a something that it's sort of a, it makes me feel at home. And so I arranged that to try to include some a fair bit of harmonics in it, or false harmonics or whatever people call them, some bell-like sounds. But the writing part, again, that's a really tough one to answer. I'm not sure how it happens, because sometimes it's very intentional. Sometimes it's very often it's discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true of singer-songwriters as well. And I remember even, you know, here I'm falling back on Coburn, but one of his great answers with regard to his lyrics and his poetry, people would read a line of one of his songs to him and say, "What is, you know, what were you referring to here?" And he says, "I prefer to leave it to the listener to tell me that."
And I find, and I've asked this question a number of times to singer-songwriters and people who do their do composition, and it does vary. It varies from song to song. I'm thinking you're talking arrangement, the little drummer boy. I'm sure you were sort of noodling around with some drumming sounds, because there are, you know, the opening, the bass notes come across as, you know, the sound of a drum.
Yeah. I still like playing that one. That's sort of become, if there's it's probably not a good idea to have a signature tune, but if I do have one, that's kind of it. It's only because it gets requested more than anything else.
Well, I think if you got so much technique going on in there.
Yeah, and I kind of, it's one of those things too where I just sort of added to it over the years, and that I've been playing that song. So even since recording that one, it's sort of it's gotten more involved, and it's one of those ones that I really do need to warm up before I can do it. It makes it sound more like you're doing something athletic than musical, but I kind of need to warm up to be able to pull that one off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, it's probably played as much as any other tune I play all year too, so I'll be playing that one in July.
Yeah. Well, what I need to do is we need to wrap up the conversation and take a final break. And after the final break, we will wrap up our conversation with Jay Calder. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Breakfast with Barnabas from the title track from his CD, Breakfast with Barnabas. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with guitarist Jay Calder. We were talking about Little Drummer Boy beforehand, and I guess the first time I heard that was at a couples night out event in Waterloo, I think about a year or so ago. How did you get involved with couples night out?
Wow. This is 3 years ago, at least now we started doing them. I think it would have had to have been through World Vision. I do as much as I can with them, and that's just been, it's been a life changer for me and my wife, and truly a God thing. We're so grateful to be hooked up with them at all. But they put me on to this fellow named Phil Calloway from Alberta, and Phil's a comedian and prolific author. He's written 26 books, and his podcast just went number one on iTunes, which is cool too if people want to check that out. I think it's called Laugh Again. But we do a show that's, it's a cheap date. It's like $10, I think, for a couple, and just a fun night out. Phil does about half an hour. I get up and do a half an hour or so, and we have a break, and then Phil comes back and does about 40 minutes more after that, and rave reviews about this. Blowing my own horn, but the response has been tremendous. So yeah. Phil and I have done more than 60 of these events now.
Yeah, and I've seen Phil a couple of times, and he's if you want to hear somebody who's really funny, he's it. Looking at your agenda, now, what's coming up next for you in on your agenda?
Wow, I don't know. You have to look at my website. I know I'm going to Emmanuel Bible College, my alma mater, back on Thursday, I guess, February 21st. So I don't know when this will be aired, so maybe this is going to be late news.
Yeah.
But I'm just going over to do the chapel there. Love to do that. Try to get over there every couple of years or so for that. And then in the beginning of March, I'm going to be up in Thunder Bay with Phil Calloway again for a weekend. I always look forward to that.
Yeah. And you mentioned your website. I'm assuming that's where people can get more information about you and connect with your CD.
Yeah, I'm pathetic with techie stuff, but I do try to keep the calendar somewhat up to date. So it's just jcalder.ca.
And Jay, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Jay Calder. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.